Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. Good evening to every one of you that have been with us for a little bit. Good evening to every one of you that have just sort of recently got familiar with the show. Good evening to any of you who are listening to the show for the first time in what's become my guerrilla warfare sort of marketing style. Nothing crazy, it's on a very small scale, but I am done entertaining sports questions from people between the hours of 2 a.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Eastern. This is when I talk about sports. Hey, Bart, what do you think of the draft coming up? I talk about it for 4 hours a night, like for the last 3 months. You can find out what I think. So I've been telling people, listen to the show. What do you think about these NBA playoffs? I'm going to talk about it tonight. Okay, I can't give away the milk for free here. You got to come. You got to sit with the cow. Now, how many people are doing this? Limited. And shouldn't I just engage in the conversation to be like a good human? Yeah, sure. But this is the show. This is when it all comes out. And you do get it for free anyway. Via the Odyssey app, via the hundreds of affiliates that you can find us on, via SiriusXM channel 375, where we will be broadcasting on these platforms throughout the week from my little tiny studio in Milwaukee, but on Thursday in Green Bay, Wisconsin for the draft. Night one of the draft, we'll have some coverage and more on that coming up, but we'll be emanating the show from Green Bay. I think the draft's going to start at 7 o'clock Central time, so I'm gonna plan to be there around noon. I don't know what this is gonna look like. They had 700,000 people in Detroit. Green Bay's expecting about 250,000. Detroit, there's more metros, I think, around it, or it's easier to get to. That's gonna be part of the charm. Again, Detroit, I don't need Detroit jumping all over how much better you did it than Green Bay. Because I know that that's going to happen. We had more people. We had more this. Every draft is its own unique experience. And this is going to be a draft where people have to park in somebody's front yard to then walk down the street and watch the draft, which they're having some of the events inside of Lambeau, the red carpet and all that. But the draft itself, they've built the stage just outside the stadium at the edge of the parking lot. And across the street from the stadium, literally, is a row of houses. There are houses directly across from Lambeau. It is smack dab in a neighborhood. The Packers have been buying up a bunch of land around it, so there's some entertainment kind of districts there too, but you will see houses on TV. There are about 1,000 homes that have been put up for rent. The Airbnb experience has been created for this moment. You know, it's a nice way to stay in a different kind of location. I still have a hard time getting into the Airbnb. I've never personally booked one. I've stayed, but I'm like a hotel purist through and through. I just love a good hotel. Something when you walk into that room with that 65 degree air blasting on you. Oh, I love it. I love it quite a bit. So draft coming up this week. Now, this is a very busy time of the year. I do not think, I've talked about this, but I do not think the human brain is supposed to ingest all of the things that are happening at one time. The human brain, remember, the human brain used to just have to know how to make fire and what animal to kill to provide for family. That's all that we used to do when we lived in caves. you know, as Neanderthals. Now, there is so much to keep up with that it is a lot. I'm just talking sports. Once you start branching out to other things, like if you're interested in wrestling, Chaotic Weekend. If you're interested in politics, lots going on there. If you're interested in arts and culture and whatever, just sports alone, you know, we talk about best sports months. When are things the most exciting? April should be up there. I mean, we had the Masters. We've got the NFL draft. We've got baseball really kind of starting to find its legs. And then the start, of course, of the NHL and NBA playoffs. With all the other things that are happening, teams firing coaches, Seattle Kraken firing theirs, teams firing GMs, Atlanta Hawks firing theirs, teams not firing GMs that maybe should be fired, with Nico Harrison talking today. So there's just a lot of information and a lot to digest with everything that is going on. So we take it segment by segment. That's how we live our lives, segment by segment, and go through the night. And we'll try to get you caught up in all the different things with NFL draft preview, some college football stuff, baseball stuff, hockey stuff, basketball stuff. And that's what we do night to night here on the Bart Winkler Show. Now, a very busy weekend in basketball with two games tonight. You're going to see the Nuggets and Clippers in game two. Right now, we got about 2 minutes left between the Pistons and the Knicks. And the Pistons do have a 94-91 lead with a minute 50 to go. So we'll see how this one ends. The Knicks did get game one in this series. They won 123-112. They were down 8 points coming into the fourth quarter, just like they were tonight. But they had a much better start to the fourth quarter the other night than they did today. A 21-0 run over a 4.5 minute span to run away with the contest, take the 1-0 lead. They're down 8 again tonight. They only had 67 points after 3, the lowest they've had at any game at all this season. So this would be very interesting. The playoffs doesn't start until a road team wins a game. That's what they say. And a lot of series have gone 2-0, and then the other team go, like, just because if Detroit's down 2-0, you know, they still haven't played at home yet. It's certainly not over. But I think if Detroit was able to pull this one out, that would say a lot about their chances. The Knicks still probably should feel good. But with Detroit, if they can start to chip away, this is going to be like the most obvious thing I said, but the longer the series goes, the more likely then it becomes that the Pistons would have a chance to win. The Knicks are the better team. They've got the better roster as they've just tied it up at 94 with a minute 15 to go. But if the Pistons can get one and then they go home right away, and it would be a little demoralizing because this is a team that's played it close. You can have a really good series where the games are great and then it ends up being a 5-game series or a sweep. And for how Detroit has played, you would think coming home with just one or no wins would be pretty demoralizing up to this point. So we'll see how this one finishes here in the matter of moments. Elsewhere in the East, everything else went to form, I would say. The Heat got that number 8 spot on Friday night, and they took on the Cavs. And it was Ty Jerome, who's been one of these stories in Cleveland that they've been really impressed with coming off the bench. He had 28 points in just 26 minutes. In his first action in a playoff game. The best in the fourth quarter was Jerome, as he was scoring or assisting on 24 consecutive Cavs points. And they had a close game that they ended up winning by 21 and a 1-0 lead for Cleveland. Another guy who played very well, it's game one, and that's what he does, is Donovan Mitchell. This is his 7th straight game one where he scored at least 30 points. The only other guy to do that was Michael Jordan. So Donovan Mitchell, fun fact, who was a kid in the Boys and Girls Club in the crowd at LeBron's decision. That's a long time ago, but Donovan Mitchell was there. Look it up. And the Cavs take a 1-0 lead in what should be a pretty quick series. The Celtics, kind of close with the Mavs or the Magic for a while. Peyton Pritchard, 19 points off the bench, but it was Derek White, who turns into prime Steph Curry in these playoffs. Jason Tatum, only 17 points. At one point, he had kind of a scary fall to the ground. It got turned into a flagrant, the action from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, although, trust me, I've watched Giannis Antetokounmpo get hammered a lot harder than that, but you know, I don't know. The Celtics get a different whistle than the rest of the league. I don't understand it, but it's true. They get treated differently by the media. They get treated differently by officials. I don't get why we all want to see them win, but that is something that happens. Maybe not fans, but media, the league, very in on the Celtics. But Tatum's all right. He came back in the game and should be good. The x-rays were negative. The Celtics beat the Magic 103-86. Magic had a nice series with the Cavs last year. That game went seven. This year, a little disappointing. Not really following up on that. They've had some injury problems throughout the year. But I don't think that this series is going to go. I mean, this is the thing with the Celtics. This is what they do is Tatum and Brown are the guys that you worry about. And then it's always a Derek White or an Al Horford. Those kind of guys beat you with the Celtics. That's how this first game went. That's likely how the rest of these games are going to go. The Bucks were flat out terrible. They were bad. It was close for like 3 minutes, and then the Pacers started knocking down shots. The Bucks could not hit a three to save their life. They were 2 of 16 in the first half and just 9 of 37. They were the best in the league at shooting threes. 39% on the season coming into this game, a much worse outcome in this one. Pacers did a really good job of throwing different things at Giannis Antetokounmpo. He could score. They basically said, you go score, but you're not going to do anything else. So he had 36 points, 12 boards, but just one assist. And they need him, the Bucks do, to be a facilitator. He kind of runs like a point forward role at some points, point center even. They need him to be that. The Pacers completely took him out of that. Now, the Bucks' other starters were atrocious. Atrocious. Giannis had 36 points. Brooke Lopez had 9. Ryan Rollins had 5. Kyle Kuzma and Taurean Prince combined for 0. It was very, very bad, the effort that the Bucks put on. Kyle Kuzma was traded from the Wizards to the Bucks for Chris Middleton and A.J. Johnson. In this game, he had 22 minutes of action. He was 0 for 5, including 0 for 2 from 3. 0 for 2 at the line, even, and 2 fouls. He has the most minutes by a starter in a playoff game without recording a stat in the history of the playoffs. No stats. He had 2 fouls. He had a plus-minus of negative 24, but no stats in 22 minutes of play. I don't know if it's nerves. I mean, he played with the Lakers when they had their bubble run, but Kyle Kuzma as a starter, very bad. So the Bucks will have to regroup. They should be getting Damian Lillard back, if not in Game 2, in Game 3, but Pacers fans probably feeling pretty good about their chances in the series. We'll see. This is going to be one of those that I think if I were to tell you right now it ended in 5, you'd say Pacers. If it ended in 6, might be a coin flip. If it ended in 7, well, then things might lean the Bucks' way. Thunder, wow. Out in the West, complete domination over the Grizzlies. 131-80. 51-point margin, 7 points shy of the playoff record of 58. That happened when the Minneapolis Lakers beat the St. Louis Hawks in 1956. Also, Denver beat the New Orleans Hornets in 2009 by a similar margin. Oklahoma City led by 56 at one point, combined 0 minutes of playing time from their starters in the fourth quarter. Ja Morant says, we're not going to play that bad again. You almost physically can't. So the Grizzlies who are not expected really to do much in this series, a lot of work to do. And I think this is interesting. The Cavs won by 21. The Thunder won by 31. These are two teams that probably, this probably should be the finals. They've been the best teams in the regular season all year, but I do think they will be doubted heavily as they start to play tougher competition. Maybe they end up in a series, the Thunder, with the winner of the Nuggets and the Clippers, and depending on who wins that one, you know, I think the Thunder will be favorites in that one, but there will be plenty of people that pick whoever wins between those two teams, which is a game that's about to get tipped off here any moment if it hasn't already. The Clippers taking this game to overtime. Nuggets got the win, 112 to 110. And Russell Westbrook, who is a former Clipper, was basically told by the Clippers, you need to beat us. Okay? Russell Westbrook was 5 of 17 shooting. Made a couple of threes, but according to ESPN's research department, they did not guard him at all. It was an average separation of 9.6 feet when he took three-pointers. That's the most since they started tracking that 10 years ago. But Westbrook, you know, he's going to live by the Westbrook, die by the Westbrook. He had some key rebounds. He had a key putback. He made some key shots. So an interesting thing to watch tonight as Clippers and Nuggets just underway here in game number two of that series. The other games in the West, you saw last night the Warriors winning 95 to 85 in what was a game that looked like it was out of 1995. And Jimmy Butler was great. 25 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, 5 steals. Warriors get the 1-0 lead over the Rockets. 7 seeds against 2 seeds in game one are just 12 and 72 with the Warriors win. So very, very rare. Jimmy Butler, rare. The first player to have 25 points and 5 steals in a playoff debut since steals became official 40 years ago. Tied Allen Iverson for the 3rd most playoff games with 25 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, and at least 5 steals. So the Warriors, who became the favorite over the Rockets despite being the 7th seed to the Rockets 2, got the win in game one. Rare for 7s to beat a 2, as I mentioned, but I think a lot of people did maybe see that one coming. Rockets, a very strong season, a very strong team. Warriors have that championship DNA with Jimmy Butler added to it. If they can stay healthy, they can be a worthy contender and make a run in this thing. The other team that I think a lot of people think can make a run in the West, the Lakers, they got throttled. They got throttled. There was a period from the second quarter right at the start to the midway point of the third. Timberwolves outscored the Lakers 67-33. It was frontline dominance. It was Rudy Gobert. It was Jaden McDaniels. It was Julius Randle controlling the boards, forcing turnovers, dictating the game flow, getting the 117-95 victory. So they were a team that was able to also beat a higher seeded team. But if you looked at and listened to the scores that I gave you, I mean, there was one good game. There was one good game. Cavs won by 21. Celtics won by 17. Knicks won by 11. Pacers won by 19. Thunder won by 51. Warriors won by 10. Wolves won by 22. And you had that game go to overtime. So hopefully as the playoffs move forward, we'll start to get better games. Getting one of those better games tonight. So those were all the game ones. Well, now we can talk a little bit about a game two as the Pistons do close out game number two with a 100-94 victory over the Knicks. So disappointing for the Knicks. It's going to be interesting return to Detroit as we see this series later this week. But this is a series now that has become a series, as both teams leaving New York having split a game. So we'll talk more about that one throughout the night, I'm sure. You can chime in on any of this, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, as we talk about the start of the NBA playoffs. Should have been a fun weekend. Look, we're kind of getting used to this, though, aren't we? College football playoffs start, first weekend, terrible. March Madness start, first two rounds, terrible. NBA playoff start, first weekend, pretty bad. Hopefully things get better as the week moves forward. Again, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Also terrible, Nico Harrison, general manager of the Mavs. We've talked about him a lot the last couple of weeks. Well, he talked today. And guess what? In classic Bart Winkler, the more he talks, the worse he comes off. Ha! We'll get into what Nico had to say at a weird press conference in Dallas in just a couple of moments. Well, come on back. It's the Infinity Sports Network. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. NBA playoffs in full swing. The Pistons topping the Knicks tonight in game two, 100-94. The Nuggets and the Clippers in action right now, 16-12 in favor of the Nuggets. You've also got the NHL with a pretty good slate of games tonight. Capitals beat the Canadiens in overtime 3-2. The Jets beat the Blues 2-1. They're already up 2-0. The Oilers and Kings scoreless in the first. The Avalanche with a 1-0 lead, series and game in the first. So some good action. Keep that remote busy as you enjoy the vocal stylings of myself and Carlos Ortiz. Who are you? Like, so we talked with the Bulls losing, and Carlos is a Bulls fan.
For now.
Which he doesn't like to admit it. Do you have a rooting interest in the NBA playoffs? Is there something that you would like to see, not like to see? What is your sort of outlook at this?
I mean, maybe it's because I live here, and I kind of feel bad for Knicks fans that they haven't won a championship since, what, the 60s? I wouldn't mind if they went on a solid run. But I also say that knowing they're probably going to get bounced by the Celtics, even if they advance against Detroit. So, that's out there in the ether. I wouldn't mind the Knicks winning. I really would like to see, believe it or not, I'd like to see the Thunder and the Cavs. I had my druthers, that's the finals matchup I want to see. They've been wire-to-wire the best two teams in the NBA, and I don't necessarily care about the size of the media market. I want to see a quality product, especially for my finals. So I'd be good with both of those teams advancing. And in the Thunder's case, they look really, really good. So I think for the West, I at least will have that slotted correctly.
Man, this Knicks loss tonight to Detroit, you're gonna have like Juan Soto 0-for-5 levels of panic on the airwaves.
I cannot wait for the overreaction. Literally about 3.5 hours, and when we sign off, I will be skipping over to the fan in New York and just seeing what the vibes are like. But I'm sure the sky is already falling.
Oh yeah, I mean Detroit's a good team. Knicks fans knew that coming in. They couldn't have thought that they would get a sweep out of this. That's what, when you lose your first game and you're the team that's expected to win, you got to remember, like, these are hard-fought series a lot of the time, and a sweep is very, very hard to do. It's almost unlikely to have happen. It's just that I think what you think is, if we lose, it's not going to be at home. And they already had to come back from a deficit in game one, and they couldn't pull that off in game two. So I think there will be some, there'll be some panic. Because I don't know where they rank in terms of title favorites, but certainly they should be expected to get past this first round. And taking nothing away from Detroit, they're good. They've had a great season, and they're a kind of team that if you overlook them, they will beat you. But still, I think the Knicks, as things play out, will be the team that advances here. Dallas Mavericks did not advance. We did see them on Friday night, and we saw them lose, and we saw them lose pretty badly. Losing again today because their general manager, Nico Harrison, talked to the media. Now, this time he talked to the media with cameras present, and everybody that covers the Mavs was invited, wasn't just a select little thing. And whatever questions you have about the Dallas Mavericks season, and even this season and even next season, they're going to be centered around Luka Doncic. This is a franchise-altering decision. This is a franchise-altering thing that occurred. Now, Tim McMahon, who covers the Mavericks, writes for ESPN, he did have his article that got posted today. The title was Firings, Cheerleader Energy, and Lost Trust, What Really Led to the Luka Doncic Trade. What it sounds like in reading this article is that when Nico Harrison was hired, it was then a slow process of eliminating anybody that was a part of the previous Dallas Mavericks regime. When you think of Dallas Mavericks, you think of Mark Cuban, you think of Dirk Nowitzki. And even if those guys aren't fully visible and fully there, and Dirk was an employee for the team, he was a consultant, he would show up at practice. Cuban eventually did sell his ownership stake, or at least a good portion of it, still a part of the team just outside of the basketball operations, and essentially is an owner but also a fan. Once that happened, it opened the floodgates for more of these kind of Nico Harrison decisions to be made. This is a guy who saw anybody that he might have thought was a threat to him. I'm just surmising what's in the article. Anybody that was a threat to him or anybody that had a connection to the Dirk Nowitzki era, who Dirk was close with, who Cuban was close with, he would either fire guys, dismiss guys, move on from guys, but he was trying to cement himself as the leader of basketball operations. That's not the worst thing in the world. That's not the first time that's ever happened in sports or business. You have a guy come in and you want to do it his way. One of the things that I don't get is when he says, I need to do this for the Dallas Mavericks. Everything he's done up to this point has been in dismissal of what the Dallas Mavericks were. And you're reshaping it in your image. If you're going to do that, you've got to be successful. And if you're going to make a big swing, like trading Luka, it's got to be a better payoff. Now, Nico seems to think if there weren't injuries, everything would have been fine. That's a nice little excuse. They traded Luka. Did not get enough back, hardly even asked anybody else if they did, and ended up now being bounced from the play-in tournament. So you've got Nico Harrison pretty much in control of everything going on with the Dallas Mavericks. You do have the owner in Patrick Dumont. Now, Nico, one of the things that he was asked, because this is one of the prevailing theories, or it was at one point. I think we all settled on Nico Harrison is just bad at his job. But Harrison was asked about ownership and if they did want you to move on from Luka.
No, not at all. Patrick is reminds me of the leadership that I had at Nike, and you know, a really good leader doesn't tell the people that work for them what to do. It's a collective, you know, well thought out process to make a big move like that. And then also, unfortunately, I'm super stubborn, so someone telling me to do something doesn't work too well for me.
Now, he also leads in a way where he tells a lot of people to do things, which is interesting. They make the finals, right? What a year it was. Once Nico Harrison meets with employees, he doesn't say, hey, what a year it was, we made the finals. He says, you need to be 15 to 20% better. Instilling fear into an employee's, it's a management style. I don't think it is as effective as the other management styles, but it is one that he is choosing. And it is one that he is going to have to live and die by. Now, Tim Cato, who writes for All City, had an article today that said this: team sources consistently express belief that Dumont no longer sees Nico Harrison as a figure with irreproachable basketball expertise. Most notably, team and league sources say Dumont has had frustration with Harrison not warning him, or perhaps being unaware of the fandom's outrage following the trade. Those same sources say it had some influence over Dumont's decision to make Harrison appear for last week's closed media event, which Harrison did not want to do. Also, those chants, fire Nico, they may start to have some effect, according to the reporting, that Dumont's like, you know, these people got to be on to something. So Nico Harrison, one of the questions he was asked point blank, why don't you think you should be fired?
Luka comes back to town, the Lakers game's happening, and you're standing there and there's thousands of people chanting for you to be fired. Why shouldn't you be fired?
Well, one, I think I've done a really good job here. And I don't think I can be judged by the injuries this year. You have to judge the, from totality, from beginning to end. And so I think I have a really good working relationship with Patrick.
He is banking on the injuries providing him cover. Doesn't think he should be judged on the injuries. Keep in mind, he traded for a guy who is known for being hurt. Yes, Anthony Davis is a top player in the history of basketball. Top 75 guy. But he's also hurt a lot. It's like trading for Joel Embiid and saying, well, he would have been good if he wasn't hurt. He's been hurt literally half his career. Literally. To quote whoever Rob Lowe's character is, I forget, in Parks and Rec. Here's the money quote. Here's the money quote. Nico Harrison. He's got to be playing dumb here when he's talking about what it's been like, the backlash since Luka was traded.
I did know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level, but really the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively. We feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to, you know, go on and on.
So he thinks he had a roster that was championship caliber. Remember, he is basing that off of hypotheticals in 2.5 quarters of them playing before Davis got hurt, and eventually when he came back, Kyrie had gotten hurt. That team could have been good. That team, if you had assembled that team at the beginning of a season, you would have thought, hey, this could be something. You would also know that they're a little older and there is some injury history. But you traded Luka for him, who essentially he's been wanting to trade for a while. And then getting to the NBA Finals got in the way of that plan. This feels a little more personal than just defense wins championships. This feels like the continued design to rid anybody of this organization that isn't in lockstep with you. You're trying to remake the organization in your image, in your name, in your likeness. And Luka was not a part of that. Here before you too long needed to go. Did not understand the impact that he had on Mavericks fans, not to that extent. That in and of itself is worth being fired for, worth being dismissed. And he may believe that that lineup would have been a championship caliber team. The interesting thing about that is the team he had was a championship caliber team, as in they won the Western Conference championship a year ago, as in they were in the NBA Finals. So this is like a guy who ran 25 miles of a marathon and then says, actually, I don't want to finish that way. I'm going to finish the long way. I'm going to go all the way back, go around, then I'll cross the finish line. He's trying to do more work to get to the point where he's already at. Doesn't make any sense. And the more he talks, the dumber the situation seems. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. 4476. As we've been talking about, it's a busy night in sports with an update. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles with the right. Hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away.
Bang! Carl Anthony Towns from downtown.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Monday, April 21st, 2025. Happy Monday, everybody. I am also sorry that the weekend is over.
Only five more days, we'll get there again.
Bart, let's start here. Even though I did play the NBA Bulletin Blitz Open, and I promise we'll get to plenty of that, I have to sneak in one NFL cut. This one is the Jets, really being the Jets. New general manager Darren Mooji says he does not want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Emphatically, he does not want to talk about it.
I understand the question, and I addressed that at the combine, but today I just want to talk about the draft and Jets players.
Do you have any regrets from that meeting?
I understand the question, but I'm just going to talk about the draft and current Jets players.
See, I get it. Rodgers wasn't his decision, not his problem. They've moved on. But then the detail to which Aaron Rodgers talked about the meeting from his perspective, let's just get an answer and let's move on. Sometimes it's just, give me the answer. Maybe you're lying. Whatever. Give me an answer so we can move on. Now we're always going to be, like, if you want to stop being asked a question, give an answer. Even if it's a lie, just give an answer. But that might have worked too, because I don't know. I don't know what people's appetites are. I mean, certainly the appetite for Aaron Rodgers news is bigger than it should be. But if you're in the Jets world, I think it happened. It's gone. We don't need to keep barking up that tree. I don't think people are going to Jets.com to find everything they can about Aaron Rodgers. I think they're hoping to forget that period of their history.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Jets fan, certainly, in your organization, yeah. But come on, that's how you kill a story. Just give the answer so we can move on.
Give the answer.
It's lazy to try to bury it by not answering. All right, let's go to the NBA playoffs because we are in the throttle of it, in the mix. The Lakers, they want to be getting trounced. They are down 1-0 in the series, 117-95. Minnesota put the hurting on them. LeBron, what happened?
Offensive rebounds, giving up open shots to Lasers, you know, not being in the right position. You know, so it was a lot of factors that allowed them to build that big lead up to 27.
They got punked pretty good. It was a fun rematch between Luka and Gobert that we saw last year in the conference finals. But the Lakers came out. Redick talked about we need to be more physical. They out-physicaled us. And this is where the Lakers' size issue may be a problem. This is why they were trying to acquire somebody at the deadline. And it looked like they had acquired somebody at the deadline who plays for the Hornets, whose name I totally remember.
I think it was Mark Williams.
Yeah, I had it. You're right.
All right, right, let's go to a series that looks like a clear mismatch despite seeding. This might be the strangest 7-2 matchup that I've seen in a while. Here's the Warriors and the Hornets. Warriors took care of business 95-85. Steph Curry in 40 minutes led all scorers, 31 points. Steve Kerr always quick to put on praise for his guys.
He was incredible. And, you know, with that type of pressure on him from Thompson and others, he just made some amazing plays.
That was Steve Kerr's 100th win as a head coach in the postseason. So I was watching that game on a laptop while watching WrestleMania, which, what a payoff, man. Travis Scott being in the main event.
Let's save that
totally
energy.
Made
we'll get
sense.
There.
I don't think I want to get there. I just don't want to
fifth
talk
hour?
About it. Yeah, I just... WWE, like, anytime they did anything this week, You know what? Let's do a minute on it now. We can kill the blitz. I just want to say this about WWE. So they are a part of TKO now, which is with the UFC.
Huh, you don't say.
And ever since they moved to Netflix, I think the product just suffered immensely. I think that it's become way too overpackaged, way too overproduced. There's a lot of good in terms of the production, but it's way too oversponsored. There was about 7.5 hours of WrestleMania programming over the two nights, Carlos. 4 hours and 10 minutes of that were not wrestling.
Yeah, that's been a trend the last couple of years, but now that they are part of TKO, they need to make as much money back in order for them for TKO to like pay off its investment. So you're just going to see nothing but advertising. The individual matches are sponsored now.
Yeah, it's a capitalistic society. I mean, I get that. But the trick is, don't make us know that we're being sold to. Let us, like, think. Just don't do that. Triple H always starts these press conferences, highest gate ever. Nobody cares. I was very disheartened by WWE this week. All right. We'll talk about other nonsense. Coming up, it's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.